Blessed Father's Day to all our fathers, and a blessed solemnity of Corpus Christi, the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Today also begins a three-year Eucharistic revival in the United States. Our bishops are beginning a three-year Eucharistic revival. Why are they doing this? Well, you've heard me talk about that survey that was done in 2019. 2019, there was a study that found that only 33% of all Catholics actually believe that Jesus is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. We're not talking about a survey of everyone in the world or everyone even in the country, but Catholics. Only 33% of people who identify as Catholics actually believe that Jesus is present on our altar. And maybe even more concerning was that only 67% of those who come to Mass every Sunday actually believed in the real presence. This study rocked our bishops, and they realized that this is an indictment against them and the church of how bad things have gotten. And so the bishops decided that a three-year Eucharistic revival is needed. It's going to culminate in 3 years with a big Eucharistic Congress and conference in Indianapolis. They realize this is needed, not just so that more Catholics will intellectually believe, assent that Jesus is truly present, but actually to increase our devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, to increase our love and reverence for Jesus, who is truly alive under the sacred species. And again, why can we have a devotion like this for the Eucharist? Why can we have a love for the Blessed Sacrament? Because it isn't just a thing. It's not just a symbol. It is Jesus alive as he is present before God the Father in heaven. A number of years ago, a friend said to the great American author Flannery O'Connor, great Catholic short story author, said to her, "The Eucharist is a pretty nice symbol." To which Flannery O'Connor replied, "If it's just a symbol, to the hell with it. If it's just a symbol, to the hell with it." And the Eucharist isn't just a piece of flesh, as if we're eating a piece of Jesus' leg muscle. The Eucharist is a person, a living person, himself. So we can and we must love the Blessed Sacrament. We must be devoted. We must show great reverence to the Eucharist. And you can never have too much love, too much reverence for the Eucharist. Why? Because you cannot have too much reverence or devotion for Jesus Christ. During the apparitions in 1917 of Our Lady to those three young children in Fatima, Portugal, during one of her apparitions, there was an angel there. And the angel prayed this prayer to God. The angel prayed, "Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore thee profoundly. I offer thee the most precious body and blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifferences whereby he is offended. And through the infinite merits of his most sacred heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg of thee the conversion of poor sinners." We are asked to make that prayer our own as well. The angel referred to outrages. Outrages such as when people steal the consecrated hosts and use them for satanic worship. The angel referred to sacrileges, such as when people in mortal sin receive Holy Communion unworthily. St. Paul says, "Those who eat the body of blood unworthily drink judgment against themselves." The angel spoke of indifferences, people who come up to receive Holy Communion and they can't be bothered to show any sort of reverence, or when hosts are dropped to the ground because people aren't focused and don't realize who this is. To commit outrages, sacrileges, and indifferences towards the Blessed Sacrament is horrible. Why? Because it's directly against Jesus himself. our Lord and our Savior. Like that prayer says, we need to do reparation for all those outrages, sacrileges, and indifferences committed against our Lord. The night before Jesus died, he was in that agony in the garden. And Jesus said he was sorrowful unto death, sorrowful unto death. Why? Because he experienced the weight of all the sins of all time, past, present, and future. He experienced the guilt, the shame, the isolation of all our sins forever. And in a sense, he still suffers from how he's treated so poorly in the Eucharist. And yet we can do reparation for how poorly he is treated. We can, in a word, console the Eucharistic heart of Jesus. We can console the Eucharistic heart of Jesus. Think of that holy woman, Veronica, while Jesus is carrying his cross to Calvary. She stops and wipes his sweaty, bloody face, gives him that minute, that moment of consolation and respite on her way. We're all familiar with Mother Teresa. In her Bible, there's a comment that she wrote. It's next to verse 21 of Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 21. That verse says, I looked for someone to comfort me, but found no one. And all of Scripture, especially the Psalms, they can be read in the light of Christ. So in a sense, Jesus is saying, I looked for someone to comfort me, but found no one. And so Mother Teresa wrote in the side there, she said, be that person. Be that person who would confront, comfort, and console Jesus. On the cross, Jesus said, I thirst. And he wasn't thirsting so much for some drink, some water, but ultimately he's thirsting for our love, a response to his love for what he did for us. My friends, be that person who comforts and consoles Jesus. Be that person who satiates the thirst of Jesus. When 80% of Catholics are staying home on any given Sunday, we console the Eucharistic heart of Jesus by committing ourselves to never missing Mass again. When 23% of Catholics that go to Mass every Sunday still don't believe in the real presence, we satiate the Eucharistic heart of Jesus by showing the Blessed Sacrament the greatest reverence in the way we receive him. When many Catholics receive the Eucharist unworthily and sacrilegiously, we console the Eucharistic heart of Jesus by making sure we're always in a state of grace and going to confession regularly. I've shared my story playing hockey in Texas and how I entered the seminary many times, but one thing I did not mention is that summer before my junior year in college, not only did I have that job driving ice, working long hours, but I also wanted to go to daily Mass, started to go to daily Mass, but a lot of the days I couldn't go to daily Mass because I started work at 7, and the earliest Mass was 7:30, and I would work until 5, and the earliest Mass was 5, and I couldn't get to Mass in time. So what I did instead is I went to the local church, Nativity of Our Lord in St. Paul, and there they had 24/7 adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. You could stop in 24/7 all year round. And I went in there, and I spent that half hour or so with the Lord praying a rosary before I went to work every day. And so I did that every day that summer. That summer, I also started to receive the Eucharist for the first time directly on the tongue. And when I look back, going to adoration and receiving Holy Communion in that way, I started to realize that Jesus was a living person in the Eucharist. Not just a symbol, not even just a piece of his flesh, but Jesus alive, totally there. And when I received him, I was receiving a living person into my body and my soul. If we only realized how awesome the Eucharist is, how vulnerable Jesus makes himself, all for the purpose of being able to be with us and to enter into us. How vulnerable Jesus makes himself for this. If the host is forgotten in the tabernacle, no one comes to visit the church, Jesus is forgotten. If the smallest part of a host falls to the ground, Jesus is falling to the ground. If someone steps on a host or a particle of a host, they step on Jesus. When they use a host for satanic worship, what they do is they actually burn the host with a flame, with a fire. That's Jesus being burned. Jesus makes himself that vulnerable. My friend, Satan hates the Eucharist. He's so envious of us. Why? Because he's pure spirit. He cannot receive the Holy Eucharist. Only we, men and women, body and soul, can actually receive Holy Communion in this way. And Satan is hateful, is envious, and wants to destroy the belief in the real presence. My friends, what love Jesus has for us that he makes himself this vulnerable. We would truly die out of love if we realized how awesome this gift is. It is the greatest gift. If there was something greater, God would have given it to us. But he cannot give us anything greater because he cannot give us anything greater than himself. Satiate Jesus' thirst for your love. Console the Eucharistic heart of Jesus.